All right, so most everybody has been around at least once in the last couple of weeks. Because today will make a whole lot more sense if you've been around a little bit. As we have talked about the last couple of things. In fact, standing there singing this morning, I realized, you know, if you look at what I've talked about over the last 3 weeks, if you really took a big picture, you'd think, well, that doesn't sound like it goes together. Because I don't know if you remember, but 3 weeks ago, I talked about what, Terry, I know you got it because you sent me an email. We talked about margins in life, needing spacers in between things that we do, that we think, that need to be filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the funny thing is, sometimes that means, like, we just need to meditate and listen and do nothing. But then at the same time, sometimes those margins are not doing nothing. It's actually engaging in things that we know God uses to re-energize us and speak to us through. So for some of us, it may be cutting the grass because it may be a time when you've kind of cultivated this, I listen then. So that, you know, yeah, it takes energy, but at the same time, it energizes us. So that too could be a margin. And you would think, well, if he's talking to me about that, now he's talking over the last couple of weeks has been live now. Embrace the moment. Don't lose the present. It's your gift from God. Hence, present. Okay? So, we're going to continue talking about living now. Last week, we talked about a list. Things that were important for us to live the adventure and live now. So John, pop that up there just to remind you quickly again of what was on the list. We talked about life is a glorious adventure when you and I rediscover our purpose, and that was Great Commission. We recapture our motivation, that was Great Commandment, loving God, loving others, risking anything to obey God, we talked about that. And that's a lot easier to say than it is to live. Reveling in the moments, squeezing every moment, and then realizing that God placed you here and that we weren't always trying to want to be somewhere else, doing something else, or being somewhere else, that we are here right now for a reason and we need to embrace where we are because God's got a purpose for us right where we are. So we're going to launch out from this point. And we're going to talk about today the things that keep us from living now. The obstacles. Obstacle number one, the rut of the daily grind. Why is this an obstacle to living now? Why is the rut of the daily grind something that keeps us from living in the now? Okay, daily routine. The rut is easier to do than jumping out and changing, okay? So why is it then that we have to change and get out of the rut in order to live now? Sleepwalk. And you remember the passages 2 weeks ago that we looked at? Paul was writing to the believers in his letters. Was sleeping a good thing through life? Instead, we see words like, arise, O sleeper. And the sleep is that very idea of after a while, everything just becomes patterned. Y'all have done it just like me. I'll get on Pooler Parkway. And when I get to I-16, I will, even if I know that I need to go down Quaco Road or I will do the other because I'm on, what do we say? I'm on autopilot. It has become so natural that I'm not even focusing on what I'm doing. That is the problem. That's when we know that we're in the rut of the daily grind because we have allowed the channels that we have cut with the sleepy stuff in our lives to be the thing that determines what we do instead of focusing on the now. You with me? That's just a metaphor. It's something that we all do, but it is a metaphor. All right, so we got to get rid of this sleepy stuff. Why is it that this rut is so intoxicating? Predictable, comfortable. It's almost like we have... I don't know a whole lot about brain chemistry and neuropsychology and all that kind of stuff. But I've heard things said about they're actually sort of like neurological patterns that we create in our brains through doing certain things over and over and over. There's certain pathways we create. It is, what would you say, sweetheart? Schemata. That's the technical word. And that we run on those tracks very easily. That's the rut. That's part of the rut. We've created that. A guy named Dale Bond, who was at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, this is what he said. He said, a set routine is convenient. That's the key word we heard. We can do it with our eyes closed. Goes back to Paul's statement about being asleep. He says, but if that's the case, it means metaphorically that we're also going through life with our eyes closed. Spiritual eyes closed, even worse. Not just our psychological eyes. So, do you see why God calls us to awake from our slumber? Why he says, time for sleeping's over. Time to be alert. What did he say in 1 Peter? Do you remember what he said about the devil? 1 Peter? Your enemy, the devil, what does he do? And so because he does, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be alert. It's like saying, be awake. What do we miss when we are stuck in the rut of the daily grind? Okay, opportunities, promptings of the Spirit, blessings, but also if we really heed the warning in 1 Peter, what else is it that we miss? What's really going on? The fact that it is not just, everything in life is not neutral. That we are encountering stuff that is in the real world. We are encountering, in the temporal world, didn't mean unreal. Real world, in the physical world, we encounter troubles, trials, struggles, stresses, attacks, but we also in the spiritual realm, which is just as real, all those same things. And we will miss it if we're going through if the rut of the daily grind is determining what we do and we're asleep. Let me offer a metaphor, okay? If I break my leg, it hurts. I'm prescribed a medication that's supposed to help me with my pain. I don't like doing that stuff. So I take the least amount that I possibly can. That's just my choice. Because I don't want it to dull me. I don't want to become dependent on that. I'll deal with a little more pain in order not to have to deal with that. The problem is we like the drug a little more than we ought to. And so we lean towards the drug to deal with our pain. Does that metaphor work for you? The drug is the rut. We like to dig the rut deeper instead of make it wider. Does that make sense? We all need patterns. Patterns provide us good things in life. Okay? It provides steadiness, consistency, confidence. Those are not necessarily bad things. It's that if we let it become our drug and we become inured to life because we love the rut more than we love having to deal with the grind. Because oddly enough, I don't think it's an unbiblical thing to say the grind is not a bad thing. It's weird, okay? But that's our problem. That is our problem. We want to avoid the struggle from the grind. And we love the drug, which is the rut, that gets us through. and we don't have to pay attention to what's going on. You understand what I'm saying with that? Okay. So the rut, it's the love of the daily grind, or the allowing the daily grind to govern us that causes us to lose our ability to perceive and to make the most out of the now, because we forget that the now is a present that we have, and we just go to the next thing. Well, I'm sure personality, God, the way God wires us, it has something to do with all this, but I would also challenge, and I'm not trying to say this at you, okay, but here's the deal. And you and I can any of us can have this conversation at a time in the future. Spontaneity does not equal necessarily being always obedient. Okay, some people who are very structured can be following the Holy Spirit just as much as somebody who is spontaneous. So it is how God works with us, and us being open to how God works with us. So personality, yes, but we've got to be careful that we don't start positioning things like, well, all spontaneous people are more spiritual. No, that's not that we can't go there. But the way we are wired, yes. Yeah, God knows us. Yep. And that's good. Mm-hmm. Yes. The thing is not falling into the dependence on the patterns. Number two, so the rut of the daily grind, the second is the tyranny of the urgent. In just a second, I'm going to show you a diagram. Okay, here's something that a guy named Dennis Hack, this is what he says. He says, there is no time famine. We all have the same amount of time, okay? It's not like all of a sudden somebody sucked my time away from me. I guess unless I happen to be like those that went to Africa and then I lose, 6 or 7 hours going the other direction. Yeah, I guess in that case, I do lose the time. But there is no shortage of time. We all have the same amount of time to do stuff with. God created us to live and to serve Him 24 hours in 24-hour days, and He called that arrangement good. So the truth is there can be a lot of things for us to do, but we are the ones who have to make a decision about what we do in the time that we have. A gal named Margaret Fuller, she said, men, for the sake of getting a living, forget to live. Now that may be more like the rut, but it still speaks to time. All right, so let's talk about all this for just a minute. I want to talk about priorities. All right, John, let's go to the grid. I hope this is big enough for you to see. It was all that I could get there. This is sort of the diagram that Mr. Covey uses whenever he does his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People or something like that. And he talks about the tyranny of the urgent. This is a diagram set up to where urgent stuff is on the left. That means stuff that calls your name immediately. And then there's stuff that's not urgent, that's stuff that you have some determination for when and how you do it, that's on the right. And then on the top, it's stuff that's important, and on the bottom, stuff that's not important. Now, the reality is the way that these two things intersect on these axes tells us a little bit about how we handle this stuff. The problem here, you see number 4 right there? You know why it says avoid? It's because that's where you intersect stuff that's not important and that is not urgent. Okay? And the problem is we are living there far too much. But even worse than that is the stuff that is in quadrant number 3. That is stuff we also need to avoid, because that's stuff that screams now, 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 but yet is much lower in importance. And you and I have to be prayed up, listening to Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit show us when we encounter those things and to make the right decisions about those things. Because the things that are saying now are not always important. In fact, if you let those things dictate, that is the tyranny of the urgent in your life. The urgent is a mean dictator and does not discern for you. So you and I have to be prayed up, discerning, and wise about the urgent so that we don't let something that's urgent, because it says it's urgent, dictate what we do. Where we need to live is in that top two, okay? The things that are urgent and important, yes, we need to take care of them right now. We do encounter those things. But those things are, most of us do not have one of those more than maybe once every couple of weeks. Something that is urgent and important, and it has to be dealt with right now. You know, your child breaks their leg, you got to take them to the hospital. That's quadrant one. Urgent, important, got to go take care of it. Okay? Gotta. Not urgent. Things you need to do. You need to prepare for, let's say there's something that you need to fix up your house. You need to spend the time that it takes to get ready to do whatever that is. That's a quadrant too. It's important. It's not urgent. I don't have to do it right now, but I need to prepare for doing it. Okay. Now are your wheels turning? Okay, you think, because you and I, we deal with most of the time what we're dealing with is 3 and 4. And the funny thing is, we ought to be living in number 2 a whole lot more. So that when the number 1 things happen, we're ready to go. If we'll live in 2. Deal with sometimes, you know, just realizing what's going on down here. But we've got to be smart. We can't let other things, circumstances, situations, and events that are really not important tell us that they have to be dealt with just because they say they're urgent or they look urgent. See, I'm getting better, but all you have to do is tell me fire and I'm trying to figure out how to put out a fire. Even before I know that there's a fire. You just told me there is. So I'm one of those guys that I almost have to not answer my phone, my landline phone at home. Because the only calls I get on my landline phone at home now are people telling me I have a problem. And they're going to fix it for me if I just give them this information or I just pay them this money. Well, I don't answer my phone anymore. Thank you, Bob. I mean, literally, because I'm saying no a whole lot. I'm saying no a whole lot more, and I don't want to be unkind, but no, you can't. No, you're not going to tell me that this is urgent whenever I know this is number 1 fraudulent, or number 2, it's just not important to me. In fact, I've had to tell people, no, it's just not important to me. They kind of go, but. Say, no, it's just not. For you, your job as a salesman is to try to create in me urgency. That's what a salesman does. Tries to create a need or a motivation to purchase the product. And if I'm going to pursue the product, then that's fine. They can help me because I'm asking for their help. But if they call me on the phone, I don't care. And I have to be strong enough, wise enough to say, no, just because you say it's urgent doesn't mean that it is. I know it's your job. Have a nice day. But no, it's not. And I'm not going to do it. In our daily lives, in our spiritual lives, we have to be able to do the same thing. We need to spend a whole lot more time in quadrant 2, becoming spiritually prepared. And that just comes with fellowship and worship and being with God. Those are the things that prepare us. That's quadrant 2 stuff. That gets us ready for quadrant 1 when it hits. And it does. But not nearly as much as the world wants to tell you it does. Everybody understand the diagram? Did Jesus heal everybody? No, he didn't. Did Jesus even say that he came to preach to everybody? He said he came for who? The lost sheep of Israel. That's where he went. Now, God used that and spun off into you and me sitting here now. But Jesus stayed on mission because quadrant two was where he lived. And he knew what he was about, and he didn't worry about what he wasn't there for. He was there to preach to Israel. And that's what he did. That's where he went. That's who he lived with. Now he came across a couple of Gentiles. Did he dismiss them? No. But his mission was focused. And whenever he left, what did he say? What was Jesus' last three words? It is finished. Punctuation mark. Because he had done what he was supposed to do. He, in this case, back to number two, did not give in to the tyranny of the urgent, because there were many, many people who were ill. There were many, many people who had needs all over the place. And what he was responsible for was what God revealed to him to do, what his father showed him he ought to be doing. And whatever his father was doing, that's what he was going to do. And where he was supposed to go, that's where he went. And that's the way we've got to be. Here's a tough lesson to learn. Every opportunity is not God. Every open door is not God. Every closed door is not God. We have to be wise enough to know the open doors that are of God. And we have to be wise enough to know the doors that are closed to us that God wants us to keep pounding on. Instead of saying, oh, it's a closed door, I'll just go somewhere else. Because there is a lot of biblical content to demonstrate that a closed door does not mean that God's not in it. Boy, doesn't that just blow our little American mythology right out the window. It's a lot easier whenever every open door is God, right? And whenever a closed door is not God. Makes life a whole lot easier. But the problem is, when we do that, we're in the rut. We're on autopilot because something else and someone else is dictating how we live. Okay. Number three. Third obstacle to living now is something that Don brought up about a week ago. Spiritual ADD. Somebody describe spiritual ADD for me. Don, you want to give it a shot? Heidi, who's not here right now, she posted on Facebook a video of otters and a butterfly. Have y'all seen that? They're in a zoo, and there's a pack of otters, and they're in their little environment, and there's a butterfly, and the butterfly is flitting around, and all the otters are flying around that environment in a pack, trying to chase the butterfly. It is hilarious. And she and I went back and forth about this because I was making plays on words. But that is like somebody who's got spiritual ADD. We're flitting around, just following the next thing. Can you imagine what would happen if there were two butterflies? Or three butterflies? Spiritual ADD. We can't focus. We can't listen. We can't obey. Because we can't be where we are right now. There's always something distracting us and taking our attention somewhere else. You and I have so many messages coming at us. Constantly barraging us that it is hard to focus. So we pick up on one thing, then we hear another one, we pick up over here. And the whole culture is caught in this, And Christians are caught in this just as much. It's hard to hear God. Have you ever known somebody that has so many good ideas that they end up doing none? They're always looking for the best idea, the next best idea, and they start planning on the next best idea, and they end up not doing the idea that God, they said God gave them in the first place. Spiritual ADD. Because we love the next thing. We can't be where we are. We can't grow where we're planted. It's the next thing. You know people whose spiritual ADD has caused them never to plant themselves in a congregation? Have you seen that? I'm going to go where the next great teacher is, and I'm going to absorb all the wisdom, smarts, and great preaching that they can give me, and then whenever my spiritual belly is full, then I'll go find somebody else who interests me and excites me and can fill my body, my spiritual belly with another great spiritual meal. Or if we don't even go that high up the order of importance, it's I'm going to go to the church where I get entertained the most. Or you can fill in the gap, fill in the blank. I'm going to go where they do this or they do that. And it's rarely about growing, and it's always about consuming. Spiritual ADD. If we let other things besides what I need to be mature in Christ, what are the things we need to be mature in Christ? What is it that we need in order to be growing up in Jesus? Wisdom, okay? Relationship with God, okay? Accountability, faith, grace, discipled, okay? Which has a whole bunch of stuff connected to that. Because it means we have to be in relationship with other people. You can't be discipled. I can't be discipled if I'm not being discipled. And I can't be discipled unless I'm in relationship with someone. And I can't disciple somebody else unless I am in relationship with someone. So, what I've just defined, if the Great Commission says, make disciples, if I am not making disciples, then I can say all I want to about being a Christian that doesn't have to be in a church. I am not dealing with reality. Because I can't make disciples unless I'm in relationship. And relationships are messy because people are messy. So if we want to make sure that life is not messy, we can just not get engaged with other people. And we can stay at home and we can listen to whoever the greatest teachers are we want to listen to on the radio or on the internet. Okay? We can do that. We can get all this spiritual knowledge. But until we start winning spiritual victories, until we start forgiving people, until we start having to take responsibility for our sin, unless we do the things that are required to grow up, we're going to keep doing this Christian light stuff and living under the tyranny of spiritual ADD. Going from one place to the next, one teacher to the next, one idea to the next, because it's something we want to consume. That's an obstacle to living now, because there's always something else that we want to go attach ourselves to. So how has spiritual ADD affected you and me? Once upon a time, I was a part of the bigger and better hunt. You ever done one of those? For me, it was as a pastor. Because essentially what I was taught is that whenever you get better as a pastor, you get to go to a bigger and better church. People are more interested in you and give you offers whenever you are growing up and maturing as a pastor. So you get in the bigger and better church hunt. That's just spiritual ADD. Being baptized is a good thing. Because what happens whenever somebody falls off the track and you're told you no longer ever have a choice, have a chance here. You're done. But it's because you no longer fit their pattern anymore. Plan. Oh, this didn't work. I'll come up with another plan. I mean, all these are symptoms of spiritual ADD. Every one of them. Or, I'm so addicted to consuming church that I end up doing nothing for the kingdom. I just go to all the meetings, have all the conversations, absorb. I suck up all the teaching, but what do I do with it? Very little. Two things that we struggle with that we allow to feed our spiritual ADD. One is what we... It's an excuse, but it's, I'm bored. Whenever God has told us this is an adventure, we're saying, I'm bored. And the reason why we're bored is it's got nothing to do with what God's offering. It's got to do with what we're not doing. We're not nurturing our relationship with Him. We're letting other things be our relationship. Take the place of what we're supposed to have this relationship. And we're supposed to be serving, and we're supposed to be building relationships, and we're supposed to be discipling, and we're not doing all those things, so we're bored. And what we mean is, they're not entertaining me well enough. And other than boredom, it's the busyness. If I'm not busy, I'm not spiritual. And that's just as much from the pit of hell as anything else that takes the place of being in the relationship that drives us to adventure. In one way, that's not a bad question. The question is, do you do it just because they do it? And that's not what you want to do. It's, you know, yes, there could be somebody who can speak into your life if you are trying to look for some way to be mission oriented, and you want to take care of people, and you want there's people you could look to and say you can hang around and you can ask questions, because that's discipleship. That's okay. Yeah. If you leave, anytime you leave the Holy Spirit out, anytime you leave Jesus out, you know, you're not hanging out with the Father. Doesn't matter. Whatever you do is not going to have the same impact, because you're not doing what God's leading you to do. Spiritual ADD. Our country, our church, not the church in America, is rife with this, because it often is really focused on consuming. Number four, that thing we talked about. We cannot be stuck in the past. Can't let the past keep us from living now. If you have one moment, or even a few moments in your past that keep you from embracing and living this moment, then that means that we are stuck. If something from the past keeps us from relishing in the joy that God has given, then that thing in our past has us stuck. And we need to let God show us how to get through that and get past it. Because if we don't, we are going to continually let that thing, that event, that person, that relationship be the lens through which we see all of our life, especially right now. And if it keeps us from being in the adventure, then it has become God, and God is no longer God. You have to be true to who God is calling you to be. But being stuck in a past, you know, whatever that is, can keep us from seeing the opportunities that are before us now. And all of us struggle with that. Some of us psychologically, relationally, spiritually, we struggle with stuff from our past. And some of us, it is more of a habit, you know, habits, you know, whether it's a religious habit that has come to have too much power in our lives, too much control in our lives, because we've allowed that habit become louder in our hearts and our ears than God is. Stuck in the past. Keeps us from living now. Seizing the moments that we have. And number five. And that is wishing you were somewhere else. We talked about that earlier when we talked about what we need to do to embrace the adventure. And that is we can't always want to be somewhere else. We have to be where we are. Why would you wish that you were somewhere else? Not listening to God? All the things we've been talking about fit there, don't they? Pretty well. Well, enough of the bad stuff. Let's talk about squeezing the day, seizing the day. So let's look at that for just a minute. You know, carpe diem means seize the day. You know where that comes from? Why we focus on that? Why it's such a convenient expression? Well, there was a guy that lived a little bit before Jesus. His name was Horace, Roman poet. This is what he said. Carpe diem, exclamation point. Rejoice while you are alive. Enjoy the day. Live life to the fullest. Make the most of what you have. And here's the last thing he said. It's later than you think. Now, if you look at the New Testament, there's a very interesting reflection of that same idea. It's later than you think. Do the most important moments in life always come at a convenient time? In the Bible, were all the people in the Bible, all those people that God put His hand on and used in a mighty way, were they all saying, oh, this is such a convenient time. Thank you, God. I was bored. I was just looking for something to do. There are those that were, but there are many that weren't. A lot of times God interrupts us with the miraculous and the extraordinary. And the funny thing is, it irritates us sometimes. Think about Jonah. Was he really excited that God had an adventure for him to go on? In fact, whenever he accomplished the mission that God had called him to, what was his attitude sitting there underneath that little plant? He was just as angry as he was from the beginning. Yeah, maybe the adventure would have been a little different. But it still would have been an adventure. So whenever God calls out to us in the middle of our daily life, are we ready when He interrupts us? Because can God really interrupt us? Or is that just our perception? Have you ever had this? I mean, sometimes you and I can think, God has been doing in my life what He's been doing, and I know that what He's been doing is led up, and here I am. Here it is. I see it. This is what all this stuff has been about. He's been getting me ready for this. Now, not all of us have had that experience. Some of us have, some of us haven't. But even that experience is something getting us ready for something else that He's going to do with us. And it's not always stuff that we look forward to. Now, there's a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ right now that would not see life the way that we see it. Because for them, He's been getting them ready to receive treatment that you and I think is horrendous. So how can you and I seize the day, squeeze the moment that we have? Or do we need to live like everything that's important really is always convenient? That's a good way to live. That's an interesting way to look at it. That's good. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pop these up because I've got to finish. Okay? This is just a reprise of the things we've talked about. To live now, we love God, love people, and we don't watch life from the sidelines. We get engaged. I'm done with this. If you have something that you want to add, we can have a personal conversation, but I've run out of time. I'm over time. So I need to end. But I'm glad that you engaged in this with me. Thank you for sharing. Let's pray. Father God, we want to live the moment that you give us. Lord, help us to make the most of it. Help us to offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices right now so that we are ready whenever we hear you and we see you moving. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.